Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Listen in as we discuss all things business, growth, and marketing with business owners, thought leaders, and entrepreneurs. And now, here's your host, founder of Roundhouse, the creative agency, Saul Edmonds.
Oh, hi, everyone. Welcome to the Grow Your Business podcast. Today, I'm speaking with Iris from AIC Coaching and also author as well, I believe, Iris. How are you?
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, I just recently published, a book was published, Team Rhythm and Before and Team Magic. So I'm fine. Thank you. Thank you and nice to meet you.
Yeah, likewise. For everybody who doesn't know about you, well, actually, first of all, before we get into that, just let everybody know we were saying before, like where we're actually speaking from, just let everyone know where you're in the world today. Like I'm in Brisbane, Australia, and whereabouts are you?
Yeah, I'm in Aachen, located in West Germany. And it's dark at the moment.
Oh, night is it?
Time. Yeah, it is.
Is it heading into winter over there, right?
Yeah.
It's so funny, isn't it? It's, yeah, heading into summer here and we're able to talk to each other through
Zoom. We are on one earth.
I know, it's amazing. Yeah, it's one of the great things about, one of the good things about using modern technology is we can do this. But for everyone who doesn't know about you, I guess just to kick it off, just if you could let everyone know just a sort of an overview about who you are, short history, and what you do.
Yeah. Thank you so much that I can share it to you. My business background is I'm a mathematician for my education. Mm. So linked to this town here where I'm living because I studied here. And then I was traveling all over the world doing some international project management, and that led me to business consultancy and team coaching, business coaching. And apart from that, I love music, and therefore in Team Rhythm, there was coming music together, rhythm together, because I play the double bass and flute and singing.
Oh, really?
And I love bringing this musical background because that's some playfulness into the business world.
That's really interesting. I've always found I'm not as musical as you, but my wife is, and we've often spoken about like the fact that there's a very close alignment with maths and music. That's I'm sure, like, you know, that seems to be, I mean, I don't know whether that's apparent to other people, but I would imagine for like a lot of people it is, because it's all, you know, there seems to be real sort of similarity, and it puts a different, I'm sure, like it probably does for you being a musician and a mathematician. Like that's an interesting mix, like you being a musician, a mathematician, and then also with coaching. I could see there'd be a lot of sort of alignment across all three. Would I be right? Like in like how you actually see that?
Yeah, I mean, the playfulness coming from music, that's pretty working well in the industry, as well the logical thinking of and analytical thinking of mathematics. And that comes into, coaching world where we try our clients to separate from assumptions and beliefs and going back into this neutral number space. And number space is belonging to rhythm as well. We count here 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. I find, because I like to see, I mean, as sort of a designer and artist, I often find myself, like I don't even do it consciously, I find myself seeing repeating patterns in things. I mean, that I'm not necessarily looking for them. So that kind of theme of of you know, something that you enjoy, like something like music. That's obviously a finely honed skill, because you're repeating, you know, sort of notes that are written down in this sort of mathematical way, I guess, then mixed with like the creativity of then being able to, you know, express that order, like like you said, like, you know, a playful way or whatever way that is. And then where do you find that playfulness, I guess, meets what you do in your coaching in business? How does that sort of manifest itself?
Yeah, if we look, for example, in gaining from feed forward, as a musician, as a band player, we give each other feedback, or as Marshall Goldsmith is saying, feed forward, because that sounds more playful. And Marshall Goldsmith is a mathematician, by the way, as well.
Yes.
And it's you play and then you give each other feedback how you can improve, because you want to impress your audience. You know, you're there for the audience. And the same fits for business, because you're not there for the audience, but the audience are your clients and your shareholders. And if you keep that in mind, you try to constantly improve in a playful way of working, because this is part of your journey. And you ask your colleagues in that perspective, what can I do to constantly improve? What can I do better? What can I focus on? What do I need to pay attention to? What is working already really, really well?
Mm. Yeah, I would imagine, is it true to say that kind of idea is at the heart of actual sort of making improvement in a team, like a group of people? Because I guess like it is quite similar. It just sort of occurred to me, it's quite similar to if you're in an orchestra or a band, you know, especially in an orchestra, you've got like so many people in an orchestra. It actually always amazes me. Like, you sort of take it for granted, don't you? Like, you see a person out the front, you know, keeping time and obviously setting the pace and the mood, who's the conductor, but for everyone to work in sync like that in an orchestra, you just see it and you go, oh yeah, everyone's doing their part. But it's kind of amazing. It's very similar, would you say, like in a way, to a group of people, like with, I guess, almost any size. But is it harder when there's more people? I mean, that might sound like an obvious question, but is it harder, or does it just pose different sort of questions for what you do?
Yeah, for me, the size doesn't matter. It's good then to split and to keep it, the work with the team, keep it a nice and playful journey. So having a good split between one-to-one pairing, having sub-teams, and then coming all over together rather than being only in one team. And when you mentioned orchestra or bands, I mean, when does it start to groove? When does the audience is really touched? When you don't have these ego players, but your ears are open and open-minded, and yeah, you really start to listen to others. For example, drummer and double bass, they need to be in sync, listen to each other, being on the same rhythm. And in business, it's similar. If you just want your ego to shine and don't mind about the people around you, then you don't focus on customer and on the real audience, which is in business, customers or shareholders.
Yeah.
But if you have them in mind, then you step back, then you're not so much in your ego. Of course, your ego needs to shine and gets applause as well.
Yeah.
To have fun. But on the one hand, you know, there is time for you to shine, but you want others to shine as well. You want others to be in the spotlight as well. You want that everybody can get his, her strength into the game.
I think that's incredibly interesting. Is that something that you talk to? Do you use that whole music metaphor? I mean, when you're speaking to people, do you talk about that a lot?
Yeah, I speak about my band experience, my choir experience, orchestra experience. Those are things I can put into the game as well, learning and growing, because as a musician, you always know you are going to improve, and especially on the journey of starting to play an instrument, sometimes you come to the space where you think, I'm really great. And then the next day, no, all gone.
Yeah, so it's like, very much like sport too, I suppose, in a way, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, that's where, I just naturally, like I said before, I naturally seem to just sort of see similarities in, which is probably like has to do with a lot of art and design too, like seeing similarities across things for things to work in a brand sort of way. But you see that in sport too, especially like even if it's an individual, like one-on-one sporting sort of competition, even then there's this like thing of having to get, like, even from personal experience, of getting past elements of your ego, like in order to see things clearly. Like it seems to be like a recurring theme for me, like, cause I play squash. And so it's like a constant thing. Like, and it's really apparent, probably more apparent when you're an individual, less so. I don't know if it's less or more if you're in a group, is probably different. I mean, you can probably speak to this, like, how do you find, what are some of the really apparent differences that you see crop up in different sorts of groups between people who are naturally, you know, sort of show their ego more? Like, how does that play in a group, in like a business, in like different sorts of businesses? How do you see that sort of working its way through things, like those dynamics?
Yeah, in business, I face occasionally this, what we've seen in sports or in music, is natural that we learn and we need to grow. We have coaches, we record things to listen and then to gain from that. Or in sports, it's more videos. You look at videos and then you analyze it in order to improve. And in business, I face leaders and or experts who think they are already close to perfect, or this I am right attitude. If just all the others would be similar like me, then the world would be so great. And then I mirror that back. Yeah, is that really true? Do you really want, are you convinced you're right and all the others are wrong? All the others are stupid. And then it starts to, humor is spreading the room and they start to laugh. Now, what they really honestly think is not they're perfectly right and all the others are idiots. No.
Yeah, that's
the
right.
Other one could be right as well. And that is this open-minded, what we naturally have within sports and music, and bringing that naturally to business as well as human beings. No, we are here to grow and to learn and to improve. Not maybe every day. It's okay to have breaks in between and for 2 months to say, okay, I learned so much. I mean, now I need a break, but then to restart again.
Yeah, no, I think it's really, I could really see, it's interesting for me because I, for one reason or another, they either with clients or just friends or other people in business, I've met like a lot of different sorts of people who do, business coaching, who do life coaching, like all different sorts. And not everyone, but a lot of people have their own you know, spin, obviously. Like, they come from a certain sort of area of business. Some of them specialize in a certain industry, some don't, but I've never actually met until sort of meeting you, someone who's got, you know, that particular perspective with music and sort of maths. And I find that really interesting because that's like for me, I could imagine, and so maybe you can then respond to this, as like I would imagine that a lot of people would relate to that very strongly because everyone likes music and everyone enjoys like their own sort of music. So do you find that that's something that people, you know, get straight away, that they understand that?
Yeah, everybody, as you mentioned, likes music, has a favorite song or rhythm. Everybody is related. I mean, some people prefer sports, but still sports people like music as well. And yeah, if you look into just trying out a rhythm and repeat what the other one is playing, the rhythm, then you detect, it's not so easy to listen and to repeat and to get into sync. And if you transfer that to business, yeah, if somebody is speaking, it's the same. I mean, you do not really listen to every word and you couldn't repeat every word the other one was saying.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really true. Actually, even sort of saying that too, because that would relate, I imagine, very closely to people's willingness or lack of willingness to listen then too, because like you have to, in order to, which is a very important part, obviously, of groups of people working together, is listening. So then if you're constantly, like if you're the person in the orchestra, it obviously wouldn't work in the orchestra if someone just went, you know, I'm just going to play the oboe in this bit where there's no oboe, you know, everyone would be like, what are you doing? What are you, you know, it's not your, you know, it's really obvious there, you know, all your on the field playing soccer and the person who's the fullback all of a sudden rushes forward, you know, and tries to take the ball off their teammate because like they want to go and score a goal. You know, everyone would be like, what are you doing? You know, it doesn't, you know, that's really illogical. You know, it doesn't make any sense. But yet, like, is it like it's sort of, that makes sense. So, but it doesn't necessarily follow that always happens, I guess, in a group of people and like other scenarios. Is that right? Like, say they're in a meeting or trying to work through, I don't know, it certainly doesn't happen in project management always. There's one person doing this, another person doing this, and there's no, I'm sort of speaking between them, that sort of stuff. Because I saw that you also talk specifically about project management, which was something that I found interesting straight away, because I haven't seen, for some reason, a lot of people in coaching, you know, talk specifically about project management. They're talking about a lot of other good things, but not that. Is that an important part of what you end up talking to people about?
Yeah, I was a project manager for a long time, and even right now, even in between business coaching, I need to step back to earth with my feet on the ground. And I always take a small project, technical projects, and act as a project leader. So I'm not only talking coaching, but I feel it, how it feels like to be a project manager. And because then you take this responsibility as well, apart from coaching. And then I can talk to myself as a coach to the project manager.
Yeah, is that hard for you to do?
I can use my coaching skills in project management. That makes it more playful and creative and more fun as well. And if you stay into the music experience, as a project manager and a leader as well, it's important to have this antennas and be attentive in the room. Like in the choir, you take a deep breath and you take care of your body language. and you're focused, and then you're speaking to the audience, or singing them in that case, towards the audience. And the way you do it is you want to reach really the last one sitting in a, if it's a church, sitting in the really back, and you sing towards them. And it's similar to the project manager. If you have a huge team, you're also keeping in mind you want to address and really reach out to everybody, so they really understand the purpose and the intention of the project, to get them engaged and motivated. And the same as a choir singer is looking at the audience. So I see similarities in between those.
Yeah, I think that's a wonderful metaphor. Is that what you just said then, you know, in relation to the choir, like reaching the people at the back, is that something that you use often when you're talking to people, like a metaphor?
Occasionally I use that, but I use that for myself as well when I'm stepping into the shoes of a project manager, or when I am
Reminder.
Like a reminder for myself, yeah. I'm here for the audience. I'm here for the whole team, and it's me who needs to have this attention, body attention, and full awareness for the people, and reaching them, really looking into their eyes, if I really touch them, motivated, engage them. Or if there's something missing, and then I come back to feed forward, asking them, what are your thoughts, what are your ideas, what are your next steps, what is the way forward, and then they can reply, and then it comes to kind of co-creative exchange rather than this old project management hierarchical command and control style telling something.
Yes.
In that, and luckily the world has changed towards agile projects management style, towards agile principles and values, which are really valuable and rich.
Yeah, I mean, it makes a lot more sense to, I mean, whilst it's not exactly the same idea as a divide and conquer idea in that military sort of way, it's in its own way flipped around. It's like a similar thing, I suppose, and as you're working within like subgroups and, you know, things that are obviously more manageable, to be able to, like, you know, if you're going to say, you're going to conquer, a group of people are going to conquer an idea, you know, or they're going to conquer a, you know, a thing that they're trying to achieve in that, you know, that sort of way, then those, subgroups can come, you know, and then bring those things back as with that unified approach that they might have, that subgroup has. Would that be right? Like in that sort of way, because I obviously don't do coaching, but like you watch people in groups of like whatever it is, sometimes 2, 3, 4, you know, working together, it always, I suppose there's less noise too, isn't there? You know, there's not 10 people, you know, and it's like, it becomes like, is it true to say that it would, is it sort of an accurate thing, I suppose, to say if there's more people, the odds, as far as like numbers go, that the odds are that it's going to be more tricky for certain people's voices to be heard? Or does that then just come down to like how you help them handle that?
Yeah, it comes back to how, as moderator, for example, you're handling that. You're looking that each voice is heard equally. And then it comes back to a band where each one has his own solo and each one has his own strengths and play and turn. So you take care of the flute plays and the double bass and the drummer. Each one gets his solo in jazz, for example. Each one has time to show. to show up and to demonstrate own musical skills. And that is in a team as well. You take care that every voice is heard, and you can use different tools about that. I mean, if you don't have only limited time, you have a Mentimeter, you can check the voices in a chat as well. And then you can mirror it back to the team and asking, this one haven't said anything so far. What are your thoughts? And that is always kind of check for a moderator has at the end or in between as well, checking, did I take care as a coach or moderator that everybody could have raised voice and could have included their strengths.
Yeah. Is your role, if you had to say metaphorically what your role would be in an orchestra, if we're using that as a metaphor for a group of people in a business, what would your role be in the orchestra? The conductor? Not really. You reckon?
Not really, no. I mean, the conductor is the leader, and yeah. I would be in the background, not even be seen by anybody. I would in between speak with the whole orchestra and with the conductor as well, and to recheck with them, to do retrospectives or to look if everybody is heard. I would support the conductor. And reflect him or her that the orchestra can really
maybe like the stage manager. Yeah, maybe like the stage manager to set like that the stage. I mean, maybe there's no accurate metaphor there with an orchestra. No, I'm to draw like a comparison where maybe there is none. But like, is it? Because I would imagine, like, is it true to say that you're also, I guess, to some extent, setting the stage? You're creating, you're helping, not creating, but you're helping to create the right environment, because there's already an environment there in a business that's already sort of established. There's like a culture there, and you come in to help people in a range of different sort of ways, but you're not necessarily, am I right in saying you're not telling people what to do? You're helping them to create their right a variant on their existing environment where they can communicate better and that sort of stuff. Is that right to say it, to draw that sort of metaphor?
Yeah, and if they're looking for something, I mean, there must be somewhere either outside the team, usually it's the leader who wants to grow and to improve, to, for example, sees, okay, we can be more effective, or they want to move from waterfall principle to agile world, or they want to have more empowerment. Each individual team or leader has a different intention why they contact me.
Yeah, I bet. Like, so when you're working with people, do you work in any particular industry more than others, or is it all over the place? It's all different sorts of businesses.
Yeah, it's I focus on telecommunication because I started as a software developer in telecommunication area with the first GSM design, with the first mobile.
Right.
Stuff, and I was growing from there, and I had project in the medical area, which was interesting as well, because the motivation in the medical area is really high because it's about health and it's about life, which is even more inspiring compared to telecommunication because, yeah, they connect people, which is important as well.
Mm.
And communication all over the place.
Yeah.
Health and life is even more life critical and more to what's life about. So
yeah, and then there, Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, these days especially too, there's the telecommunications industry is, I guess, well, it's linked to like a lot of industries, obviously. It's vital, but then especially with a lot of the technological advancements in medical these days, like we did a project a little while back with a big medtech company, and a lot of their current and then sort of emerging technologies about scanning patients en route to the hospital, and in order to prep to do like 3D printing for some path that they need to make to replace something inside somebody, then like heavily relies obviously on the transferal of the information, like en route, like in the ambulance over to this, all these like things like the actual like speed and the efficiency of of all the technologies that relate is like much more integrated than it ever used to be. The world, I guess like overall, like you would obviously understand as being involved in software too, like how much these days that's a integral part of just about everything that people do.
Yeah, and how important it is that we focus on our creativity and innovation and don't step into this I'm right, and therefore co-creation, communication abilities are really key important to really progress in our world and to make it a better place.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's I wonder, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this too. I wonder how much, because it's something that I don't necessarily have a complete answer of how I feel about this yet, but how much, say, the advent of newer technologies like use of AI and other sorts of things, as overwhelming as they are, how much that will actually maybe make a lot of people turn away from that and sort of return to other more old school ways of doing things, or actually thinking or reading more, because they're so overwhelmed by all this sort of stuff. Like, how do you feel about that? Because I know I'm sort of in two camps. I really like the use of technology, but I like it when it's a really good tool. Like, I like it when it's really, really useful, like I guess like a lot of people do. But outside of that, I find myself that I suppose because I'm around it a lot, if you're exposed to things maybe more than in other time when you're not doing that, if that's your work, you don't want to do it, I mean, as much. How do you feel about like that? Or I guess, how does it impact, or does it impact what you do or impacting people that you work with? Do you see that?
Yeah, I was trying out. There was AI and coaching, and there's lots about discussion.
I bet, yeah.
I love to try out everything I see, first of all. And yeah, I see some benefit in there. And it's also, there is robotics or AI without, for traumata patients, because there are not enough psychologists out there to support. And then it's good that they have something instead of nothing. Mm. I always come back. There's lots of ongoing in this world. It's turbulent. And then I realized, okay, asking for feed forward again, asking people around me, colleagues, or I don't have real colleagues, but clients or whomever, asking around, okay, what do you see I can do better? Or what do you see I can improve on? Or how do you see AI in your world? And with questionnaires, I collect data as a mathematician. And then it gives me a more safe place after all, because it's not only my view, but I collect data around me.
Yeah. How did you, just out of interest too, I guess just returning to you being like a professional mathematician, how did you when you actually started that, how did that end up being like a thing for you? It was obviously at some early point an interest, but how did that evolve within your life where that was like a thing for you?
Yeah, that was in my early age as a child. I met Mother Teresa. She was speaking in my hometown. And actually, I wanted to become a priest, which was not possible because in Catholic, females weren't allowed, and it's still not allowed. And I wanted to study kind of more into that area. But then I recognized I'm really good in math, and in all my meditation, there was formulas and integrals. So I thought, okay, I will match both. And as a coach, yeah, it's a good match for mathematics coming together with a priest. I mean, basically a coach is a priest in the business world.
Yeah, anyway. It's interesting too, because I think like that role that, say, actually that's an interesting point, because I wonder if there's an argument to make that, because in earlier times especially, or even probably, you know, early 20th century or up until recently still, like the role of, say, a priest within a local community was, you know, a advisory role too. It's like how people probably, I heard somebody on another podcast the other day saying about how they were remembering how they used to view their local GP, that when they used to go to the doctor, they used to feel like they could ask them anything, you know, and they could, you know, they had like a sort of a local community advisory role. Like, I guess in some instances, at least, I'm sure, yeah, a priest or, like, you know, teachers probably too, but that doesn't seem to be the case, certainly in a lot of areas around the world anymore. They fulfill a different role. So I wonder if that has given rise. I mean, obviously, business coaches generally play a really important specific role for business, but when you've got where business coaching is obviously still advising people, you know, most countries in the world, I mean, it's certainly the case in Australia, is, you know, the vast majority of all businesses are small business, and they're all made up of people who have their own lives, and people need advice and they need help. So, like, does, I guess, coaching to some extent feel like a bit of a gap of that void that has been left over from not having those other sorts of people, like in the community, to actually get advice from, where people normally would?
Yeah, and as ICF or International Coaching, we are linked to high ethical standard, and also we don't give advice. We give the space because we believe the resources are in the other people. Yeah. So we are more asking questions to get this wisdom out of them. And that is what my clients highly appreciate, or what they see as a key value, that they have the space getting questions asked and getting the wisdom out of them.
Yeah, yeah. I would probably, like, say that that's...
If I come back to the band, I mean, it's the same. The music and each band player is... And as a coach for a band, you take care that each one develops own skills, but then it's worked together as a band as well.
Mm, Yeah, I mean, that I would probably say too that that's under the way you're describing how you work with business in that sort of way to unlock their sort of true potential, I suppose, is the right way to do it anyway. Like even if you're you know, offering any form of advice, I would probably say, I mean, that's how I generally think about it, is you might be sort of asking questions or just giving people the, I guess, like opening up a different path for their mind to go down, or to pose questions for them to reveal the answer to themselves, because that's always going to be, I think, like more powerful, really, isn't it? Like if somebody actually has their own realization rather than somebody else going, hey, you should do this. I mean, most people, I guess, a lot of the time may instinctively just have the reaction of, well, you know, either I don't want to be told what to do, or, you know, or I don't agree with that, or I do. And even if they say I don't or I do, is it true that whilst they might reaffirm something that they know, they're not really thinking about it themselves? They're either just going yes or no.
Yeah. And it was my own journey from business consultancy to business coaching, because in early days, I went there and I thought I have the clever mathematical ideas, and I just consulted them and said, this is clever, please do so. and then they refused. But then I realized, okay, I just interviewed them. I was in Finland, and I just interview, and then I mirror it back and say, that was your great ideas. I just summed it up for you. And then they realized, yeah, great, we're doing that. Our own idea. Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. You got to go through your own process too to realize what actually works and what doesn't work. Hey, it's like that's, yeah. I mean, people, I mean, that's the funny thing. You end up talking to people just on a human level, and you realize that everybody else has at some point or another gone through their own series of mistakes and realizations. Like you said, like you, I'm sure I've done the same. I probably still do, like every now and then too, you think, oh, I know this, or I know how to do this. And then some situation arises and you go, oh, actually I'm not as good as I thought. And that's why I always find doing like some real time activity where if it was like something like sport or something where you have to think and act, or maybe even then sort of music too, or something where you have to strategize, perform and do something in real time, is like a little how would I say it? It's like a little concentrated view of life. It like takes things, like, because you have to do it in real time, it's like you realize very quickly, as opposed to like over a span of time in life, like what actually works and doesn't work. Like, yeah, it's just right there on the spot. You realize, you go, oh, and then in sport, it's really obvious because you lose a point, or you like, you know, and you go, well, I didn't, and you have very clear goals there. You go, or you're in an orchestra, I suppose, and the goal is for it to sound beautiful and everything to be in order, and everyone has to work together. And if one person is out, you know, it sort of spoils the whole thing. You know, it's funny, isn't it? It's like everything else can be absolutely perfect, and then if one person is kind of out at one point, it sort of has this, it leaves a mark on it. So there's this sort of order, this underlying sort of order there, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah. And if I consider, yeah, you mentioning in sports, you realize it pretty fast, and in music as well, like in the choir, when I was lifting up the notes in front of my eyes, just reading, trying to think perfect, then the audience doesn't get anything from it. But looking, having it in my heart and singing, looking towards the audience, then I get the reflection. And same in business. If I forget to ask, what is your perspective? What do you think? And constantly have this kind of ongoing conversation, the reflection back. What we have naturally in sports, because we lose a point, that is needed in business.
Yeah. Having instant feedback or feed forward is it can be both incredibly valuable and confronting too, because like you're getting it straight away and you're going, and then like in sport, once again, you lose the point, or you're in the orchestra and your note is just out and everyone goes, and the focus is like, sort of on you straight away, but then everyone has to keep going still and like act like nothing has happened and not let that affect them, I suppose. Like, is that something, how do you see that idea manifesting itself in a group of people? Like if somebody says something out of turn or something that the rest of the group either like really doesn't agree with, like how do you see, like how do you, I guess, in your role, if you're working with a group of people, how do you help the situation, like in that sort of scenario?
Yeah, in that sort of scenario, I'm more the moderator then, and it's mirroring what I observe. And my observation is then, okay, I see there's a divergence or a disruption here in the room. And then first, what I reflect and I ask, how do you see that? And then they say, yeah, obviously there is. And then I ask, what is clever now to do? Is alignment a good thing, or should we do this analytically, pro and contra options, and then choosing the best options?
Yeah, sure. How can leaders then, like you're working with a group of people and then with the leaders within an organization, how can they then add more feed forward, like more value via feed forward? Like how do you help them to do that, or like show them how to do that?
Yeah, I especially love this if I run the program, like everybody in the team and the leader, they get a link from me with just 2 minutes feed forward. They can choose 6 to 8 people to send it to with just those couple of questions about what do you value most, what is something I should take more attention to based on your experience. And then I collect it for them, and then I have a session with each of them, what their really colleagues tell those persons, and we are looking for commitment out of that. Because if everybody says here, yeah, I really value blah, 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 and then they say, okay, but sometimes you're speaking really into details and that is pretty boring. So if you can focus a bit more, and he gets this reflection from 6 people, then I ask, okay, well, what are you going to do now? What is your commitment out of that feed forward? In order to improve, to become a better musician, to become a better business player in this game. And then they step from addressing this, getting that feed forward into, yeah, okay, next time when I ask the feed forward, I don't want this feed forward anymore. I want more kind of, yeah, you are the best creative guy and thank you so much. And you're really focused now. And then I ask them, okay, but how do you come there? And then from this feed forward, they step into a commitment, what they take care about that in the future.
Yeah, I guess that's a strong incentive for some people more than others, really, isn't it? Like having feed forward, and obviously depends on what that is, you know, too. If it's constantly, if somebody hasn't had or nobody's ever said that to them before, even though everyone may have been thinking it the whole time, and then it's only because they're in an environment where that's kind of like it's okay and it's sort of encouraged to say it, but then that could be very confronting, I imagine, for some people. And then, but it can also, is it right to say, like it can have the potential, obviously, to be very like a positive incentive for them to change, because then like, I never actually realized that, like, the whole time. I just had no idea. And then, you know, have you seen it be, I guess, sort of shocking for some people?
As the wording is, so far I realize it's really appreciative. And because the question is about as well, what do you value most? So first of all, you read all, and then you're happy, and then you're in this modus, I didn't saw that would realize it. It was important for me, but now I see, they really see I'm bringing positive mindset to the whole team, for example. And then within this combination, then they realize, okay, but there's something to improve here, like for a musician, like for sports guys. And then I mention it as well. It's naturally for sports people. Nobody says I'm already here and I don't change. And in business, it's important as well to look at those kind of reflections. Sometimes it's easy tasks. Sometimes they reflect, yeah, if you would just smile a little bit more. And then they say, yeah, that I can do really easily. I just smile a bit more, yeah.
Sometimes it's just so simple, isn't it? Like it seems simple anyway. Like once you know it, like in retrospect, it's always easy. You're like, oh yeah, why wouldn't I have done that? But it just takes somebody to say it to you, I guess, like sometimes.
Yeah, and therefore that is so valuable to ask actively for feed forward, to take it on board, to change it to a commitment, and yeah, to improve day by day. And then a whole organization has more, they improve first of all. But I mean, what is really lovely is that each of one knows, there are lots of people who have the same topic. I mean, it's usually going too much into details, being too serious, thinking I'm right and the others are wrong. I mean, it's patterns I see. I mean, nobody's alone with this topic about improvement. Same like in sports and in music. I mean, improving on rhythm, improving on the tone. I mean, yeah. And in business, it's different topics, but they have similarities.
Yeah, it is an interesting point, though, that you, you know, that you raised about that there is certainly more acceptance generally, like it's almost the norm that, you know, that in sport or, you know, in music and certain things, that's just like a given. That's just like, you know, assumed that you improve. Like it's not, I mean, you don't even really have to think about it. Like some people are obviously better at it than other people, but then that's sort of true, broadly speaking, that it is in business, but it's less of a thing. It's probably not the right way to say it, but is it true to say that it's less of a really integrated part of the culture like it is in other areas, and you have to like actually highlight it more?
Yeah, and you have to show courage. And after all, if you are relieved because you are on a safer, much safer journey, because you know what the others are thinking about you. You know what to do. It's not only in your own brain. You don't need to do assumptions anymore. You know what they are thinking.
Yeah.
And you realize how nice they are after all, and how supportive they are.
It's funny, isn't it? Like it sounds so simple when you say that, but it shows that the power that words that actually just saying it, because everyone, I guess, makes a lot of assumptions about things, don't they? You assume, like everyone, I mean, sure, I do, everybody does. You assume, you make assumptions about all sorts of things. You assume, like, I don't know how many times, like over the years, I've lost count where you either just from, you know, past experience with another person or because, I mean, whatever, you assume somebody's going to be a certain way, or because they don't say something or because they do say something, that therefore they think, you know, this or this. But then you actually, when you actually end up talking to them, I've lost count of the amount of times where I've been like, well, I've done it again. Like, it just sort of, you know, assume something. It's not always a big thing, but you make an assumption that inevitably is not completely accurate. And then all it takes is just to have even sometimes a very short conversation with somebody, and you actually find out, and they're like, oh, why would you think that about me? And you're like, oh, I don't know. I just, you know.
And how crazy those assumptions are after all, because
I know.
We don't know what is really ongoing in our own brain. I mean, how crazy it is to assume something in somebody else's brain. I mean, that's really a waste of time.
It is, yeah. I mean, when you say it like that, it is. It sounds ridiculous. It's like, why would you do that? That makes absolutely no sense. Like, even to, I'm sure the most, you know, I'm sure most people would, you know, hearing that, they would be like, oh, yeah, yeah, of course, but they still do it, you know. But that's the, yeah, I mean, I'm no brain expert on why people think things like that. But so tell us a little bit about just, because you mentioned before you've written the two books, right? There's Team Magic and Team Rhythm. What's Team Magic about?
Team Magic, I wrote that 12 years ago.
Oh, right.
And it's both, I wrote it with a cartoonist, so there's cartoons in both books. And at that age in the telecom industry, there was only male, so the cartoons was full of male. So it was basically the only female. And it's Team Magic is about, coaching perspective, and scenarios from the business within cartoons, while Team Rhythm brings more the musical part, the rhythm part. So each chapter has a kind of rhythm exercise, and it's based on a xylophone where you say, okay, each tone, like leadership, presence, listening skills, trust, feed forward, speed up, conflict resolution has its own tone, own exercises.
So that, and that obviously relates extremely strongly to music, like in its whole, through the whole book.
Yeah. Well, in Magic, I didn't have this musical part so much in it.
Sure.
It's just growing over time.
Yeah. So that, I guess, like, sometimes you, because you're obviously still playing music then, but the realization of, like, how you could use that came later on, like in the book. And it's like, it's a really, like, for me, that really jumps out as being like a really strong, powerful kind of metaphor, like for what you would do. And because, well, not solely, but partially because what we were talking about before, because of its relatability, that people, you know, are able to very strongly relate. Because you often, I mean, I often find that, you know, if someone is explaining something to me, like, you like to think that you're good at understanding, like, something new, but if somebody relates it to something that you know, it's easier. Like, if they do it in the right way, and you go, oh yeah, yeah, it's just a, you know, it's a common thing that actually works really well, and especially with music, because everyone liked music in some form or another. They don't have to be like a musician to really do that. They just enjoy it. So you're saying before that working like in that industry or industries that you work in, is it groups of people over a certain size? Like usually is like in that sort of industry, is it generally over a certain size? And if so, how large are the teams usually that you work with?
If you speak from an agile world, they are tribes and squads, and it's sometimes a whole organization, and still I'm aware of different leaders on different levels I'm working with. So it's could be an organization with 30,000 people in it, and still I'm aware of that each team consists of 8 to 15 people.
Yeah, right. So do you end up working with people in software who do software development as well? Like some of those teams, are some of those people like, software developers or are they like...
Some of those are software developers. It's not the majority. The majority is engineers. Because in the telecom industry, the IT, some do that, but there's rollout, they're building sites and so on. So it's 30% software engineering building something and 70% engineers who are building something.
Yeah. Do you find that the, because you're working with people at varying levels, like there's obviously managers and project managers, and then the people who are the head of the smaller teams within that, are there any particular group within those groups that you find get more out of what you're helping them with than other groups? Like say for example, is it like the project managers or is it very broad and it varies a lot depending on the actual sort of people too, I suppose, like the personalities?
Yeah, I prefer to work with international companies where there's lots ongoing, and culture plays a role as well. And I guess it's not special someone who gains more than others.
Yeah.
It depends more on the openness to wanting to improve, wanting to gain something out of it.
Yeah. Is that does that initial willingness though have to come from the leadership? Which I'm making an assumption here is that somebody is gonna engage your services in the first place because they want to improve things, or they have that initial sort of willingness. So am I right sort of in assuming that is it more or less likely to work if there's more willingness from higher up?
Yeah, either there's more willingness from higher up for having a more empowered, innovative, creative way of working, because they look into the future on behalf of their organization, and they see something needs to happen here now. Or it comes from pain, from emotional pain, not being able on the expert level, or as well on group leader level, or on project manager level, that they feel kind of pain and they suffer really emotionally because they know handling conflicts, it's something they can learn more and grow more, and so they can handle it more easy.
It would be like I've employed people and had like, you know, small teams, but I would imagine it would be like it would be a very tough job to be you know, a leader of a much larger organization. There's a lot of, you know, elements pushing and pulling there too. And would you say, like, have you ever like had any conversations with people around, like, I guess they're any anxiety around them, you know, not knowing what's happening, you know, when they're, because like there's the idea of, I guess, pressure and maybe like, you know, emotional pain or anxiety around knowing things that are being done or aren't being done or being said. But what about those things? Have you ever like talked to people about the fact that they feel they have no idea what's going on, like in their organization?
That specifically, I never faced that. Did you?
Well, no, not really, because I suppose like I haven't, but it's, yeah, it just occurred to me when we were talking, because I was thinking of the two opposite sort of things that, you know, it seems really obvious, but I just thought I'd throw that out if that was ever something you had encountered, because I would imagine that at some point, you know, there are, you know, people or person who has got a leadership style where people don't want to express things to them, so therefore they don't know, and they may not, or they think they know, or that things are going fine, but because there's, I don't know, maybe because there's a fear of expressing it because of their leadership style, that people don't actually say anything, so therefore they don't know. And then they realize that at some point and go, oh, maybe or some one person says, hey, listen, like, you realize that like people aren't actually sharing things with you because they don't want to, because they're, you know, because they feel uncomfortable and they have a realization and they're like, oh, I really need to change that. I'm sort of like what you were saying before, like when people end up actually sharing something, you know, or whatever that is, and you realize it for the first time and you're like, oh, I never knew that before. No, it just sort of occurred to me. I mean, I have no idea like how much that would actually happen, but I suppose if people are willing to come to you and talk about that in the first place, they're probably not going to be an issue in their organization. Like if they're actually like willing to be having people are providing feed forward and that whole process.
Yeah, there is this kind of inner voice kind of disrupting a way forward. And there are books about that, kind of like those kind of animals sitting and speaking to your ear.
Oh, yeah.
and giving them a voice and a kind of face and learning to tackle that is part of a journey.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's very, I find it really, like in my limited experience, you know, managing projects and doing like various things, that's like, you know, can be challenging enough, let alone if all the moving parts are far greater and there's like a lot more at stake then too. I mean, I could imagine that's, you know, they would have a lot of help from someone like you to have just like this third party voice too, like in sort of like speaking to them. How important do you feel is, like, say inside any given organization that is usually probably quite insular, like the how important having that third party, like actually come in who has no initial experience with what's happening and seeing things from a new viewpoint.
Yeah, I mean, I just know it for my clients when they give me this feed forward that this neutral position, not being part of, not having the inner drive to show my ego because I'm not part of this organization. So I can just neutrally come to that and this without any assumptions because that wouldn't make any sense. And that is really key important.
Mm.
I can have helicopter view, which I try to hand over to my clients as well, like zooming up, looking from the mountains, looking from a far perspective into their team and organization while they're relaxed in their vacation modus. Because that is something similar, like I can jump into an organization as a coach, having no stake in it because I'm not a stakeholder or a shareholder, because I am just there to observe, to mirror back, to support them, to look what is clever now, what ideas are in the organization to come to a more positive, more effective, or more creative, innovative, committed, whatever they need just there. How do they come there?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's wonderful. And I think it's really important role too, like we said, like the power of the third party. I mean, for people, it's like even if you're in, you see it play out sometimes when small groups, if you have like, you know, two friends talking or you know, two or three people who know each other talking, and they're talking about a certain subject and they're all, I'm very familiar with it, and somebody else like, you know, comes in, and it can, you know, it brings like a new sort of liveliness, often because they're in a certain sort of groove, I suppose. You know, it can be sometimes, like in that instance, it could be sometimes disruptive, I suppose, because people have their little groups, you know, and they like to talk about certain things. But yeah, I think it's really, I'm really sort of interesting. So as we're, I guess, I'm sort of nearing the end of our podcast, Oris, have you got a sort of a quote or something that you feel is sort of relevant, either from you or from somebody else that you'd like to share?
Yeah, the key or essential is to appreciate each other. That is key important.
Yeah, I think that's really true. Yeah, I think this is often the simple aspect of things is, I mean, it's not always right, but often it is. Yeah, I think that's really true. That's a really great sort of way to wrap things up. And also, just before we do too, could you tell people the best way to get in touch or to find out more about you online?
Yeah, via my webpage, aiccoaching.com. And there's lots of articles out there. So over LinkedIn, just my name, Iris Clermont.
Yeah.
You find me there with all the posts. And I'm happy to get in touch with you.
Yeah, no, thanks so much. And it's been, I mean, really wonderful. It's been very enjoyable. I found it like really interesting, your view on all of that with music and maths and that whole sort of crossover. So thanks so much. And have you got any final words you'd like to share with everyone?
Yeah, I would like to share opening up for asking others what they think, what are their ideas.
Yeah, no, thank you. And so with that in mind, that's actually it for today, everyone. Thanks so much for listening in to our podcast yet again. Thanks again for listening to the Great Business Podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Say goodbye, Horace. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of Grow Your Business. Have a great day, and we'll see you next time here at the Grow Your Business Podcast.